Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back here on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Andrew Pichet is here with me. I'm Dustin Hawkinsmith. We are moving on from recruiting. So we did what we thought the need areas were in the 19 class. We also did just the recruiting storylines, the trends on the offensive line earlier in the show. You can check
that
out.
That was fun.
KeystoneSportsNetwork.com.
Love the offensive line chat.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to unpack there.
As we talked, I kind of thought about it as we're thinking and talking, and I'm like,
sometimes I think we take for granted how much has gone into this and how much we've, you know, and the fan base certainly too, especially with the offensive line, have invested into trying to understand what's going on. The offensive line is one of those things. To me, through all the sanctions and everything, the offensive line is the position that has taught me the most about sustaining a college football program.
I would agree with you.
It is and how difficult it is. And I think a lot of people should respect that. You know, to have to go 2 or 3 years in a row without getting as many good functional offensive linemen as you need can really put you in a spot. And certainly sanctions sped all that up. And Penn State is just now getting out of it. And I'll tell you what, to be getting out of that and to kind of see hope on the horizon, this can be a really, really good group.
Yeah.
And then to have been really nationally relevant 2 years in a row before you get the best version of your offensive line, which I anticipate will be 2018, it's an interesting time, to say the least. Flipping to the defensive side, we'll look at the ends and the interior here, but just this is our series on the depth chart, just breaking down where they are in 2018, and where they are here is, I think it's a tale of two positions. At the defensive tackle spots, you've got four guys you expect to head up that rotation who will need to play the biggest roles of their lives. On the defensive end side of things, I think the future could not be any brighter for this pass rush. And you got glimpses of it last year, but really you got some guys who weren't ready to do it consistently last year that have a whole year to build on real college game experience. Shane Simmons, Shaka Toney, Yetur Gross-Matos, Daniel Joseph there. Even more than that, Ryan Buchholz.
Dude.
That defensive end rotation could be nasty and impactful.
The single most intriguing and talent-laden position, despite what you think about the number of receivers that Penn State has on its depth chart, I'd say the defensive ends have the potential to be the single biggest impact position for Penn State in 2018. There's so many of them. They're so good. They're so versatile. They're kind of the same, but a lot different in a lot of respects.
I didn't mention Sharif Miller, by the way. I forgot Sharif Miller's name.
Let's talk about, there's
a lot of guys to mention there.
There's a lot of guys to go at the defensive end position, but in order to run that sort of impact, you know, that you want to have off the edge, you need a little help up the middle to fully unleash the arsenal that you have. It's not a question of, well, do they have it and they might need a little help in the middle to find out. They got it. On the outside, they got everything you could possibly want from running, you know, run stoppers, holding ends, pass rushers, guys with bend, guys that can collapse a pocket. They got it all. It's can they, you know, get a little help up the middle to unleash that beast we know exists on the outside.
And here's the thing. So the two games that Penn State lost to Ohio State and Michigan State, the pass rush not getting timely pressure was a big part of that. And I'll tell you, I think it's part of the whole learning experience of this crew that they have yet. And when you lose Ryan Buchholz, you just didn't have a lot of margin there. Suddenly now you lose one guy and you're asking three or four guys to play roles that they weren't in position to do. And that came to fruition against both of those teams.
Yeah, your weakest links when you're losing to in big-time games like that, they are exposed. Why'd they lose to USC in the Rose Bowl?
Yeah.
Couldn't get pressure on the quarterback. It was the same scenario, and the defensive backs were not put in a good position to do something that they had done all year in that game up until that point. And it played out the same in the Ohio State game.
And I think, you know, the pass rush can mask a lot of other things. So I think the concerns that we're going to talk about, maybe that up the middle, replacing a lot of bodies, middle linebacker, both the safeties, both your defensive tackles, those are things that Penn State needs to address. But if that defense, if that pass rush is roaring, then I think you can get away with some things. And what we haven't seen is that pass rush be either dynamic or deep enough to really get the job done. I think in 2018, there's a chance that it's both dynamic and deep enough that they can absorb. If a guy gets hurt, they can absorb that now.
Right.
Too many guys were playing really their first college football last year for them to really be able to take that in stride. I think their margin is going to be different this time around.
The last time the pass rush was impactful was the Carl Nassib on one side and Garrett Sickles, Evan Chouin on the other.
Yeah.
And that was what, 16?
Yeah.
15. 16?
Yeah.
15.
15.
15.
Sure.
It was 2015.
You could have said any year.
No, it was 2015. Okay, yeah. That was the last time. It's not like that it hasn't had an impact. They've been blitzing to do it. But I don't think they're going to have to blitz anymore to do it this year. I really don't.
How big of an advantage is that? The best defenses, I think, in the NFL are the ones that don't send five or six guys. The ones that can get pressure with three, get pressure with four.
Yep.
And if you're getting pressure with three or four, suddenly you have a huge numbers advantage on the back end there, especially if you got guys who can cover, which I think Penn State does. If Lamont Wade is your starting safety, he can run stride for stride with anybody who's going to come in his area.
John Reed,
Tariq Castro-Fields. I mean, you have Amani Oruwariye, presumably back. You have a strength at cornerback. You've got some upside at safety. You got a lot of upside, not quite as much certainty at safety. If Micah Parsons is in the middle of that defense and he's covering ground in the middle, you have a lot of different options you have. And if your defensive ends are getting to the quarterback, boy, it brings all those options to life.
It lights the fire. It will definitely light the fire that unleashes the greenhorns that are extremely talented on the back end behind them. I mean, they're going to set the table. Yeah. In the last couple years, the back seven has kind of set the table for the front four. I think it's going to look different this year. I think it's going to be a role reversal this year.
You can't have this conversation without mentioning the defensive tackles, of course. And I think when you lose Parker Cothran, you lose Curtis Cothran, you lose Tyrell Chavis, I think, you know, you're looking at dynamic ability and saying, okay, that's not that hard to replace. Because these guys made the absolute most of what they had, but these are not NFL caliber players.
No.
So here's the conversation, though. It's that you lose three out of your rotation that might go six deep. Suddenly it's the same issue we talked about with the defensive ends last year, where you lose a guy and now suddenly players B, C, D, and E are being asked to be A, B, C, D, and D.
Yep, that's different.
And so you have three, four guys that impacts. And so what you're looking at for the defensive tackle rotation is, okay, you take these three guys out. Who's ready? You look at Kevin Gibbons and Robert Windsor, that might be a pretty even trade-off at the one and two spots in the rotation. That's not where my concern is. My concern is three, four, five, and six.
Correct.
And are Ellison Jordan and Antonio Shelton, are they ready to be your three and four?
Fred Hansard?
Is Fred Hansard ready?
Is he ready?
Is Corey Bowles ready? How much are you going to need those guys? How much are you going to lean on Windsor and Givens? Is that going to be a healthy snap total? So it's the weakening of the entire rotation and the loss of a lot of experience there is the bigger thing than just your starters.
Kevin Givens is the sort of turnkey for me. I think, obviously, you know, he can swing and play both positions. He could play aggressive defensive tackle and he can play defensive end. But I also think he's ready, even though he's a little light at 275. Why does it feel like to me he's ready to be a three-down tackle and a three-down impact tackle? I mean, you always watch him make the flash plays, but do you ever stop and think about, you know what? He's a lot more solid at stand-up run defense on the inside. They didn't have to use him in that role, but when he was in the game in that situation, you're like, he can do this, but it's not where you can use him because you had the two Parker, you know.
Yeah.
The two Cothrans. So you didn't have to, but when you did, I'm like, I think he's ready. I really, really do, and I think this is his. He's ready to be a standout, solid inside player for them. If you want to use him in both, move him around. Go ahead.
Right. I think that might be a theme because I think with Ryan Buchholz, you're going to move him inside and out. Yep. I think there's a chance they can move Damian Barber inside and out. Here's where I think you have the advantage with Givens. At 275, he's as strong as a 320 pounder. You know, the freakish strength that he has allows him to maybe maintain a little lighter weight and be a little quicker and not lose that dynamic. I'm really excited. You know, he's a guy that I was expecting a big step forward last year. And for all these different reasons, he just wasn't in position to do it. I don't think it was him. I think it was just the role that he was trying to find and he was being assigned to play.
I don't think he was asked to do more.
He wasn't asked to do more.
So
that's precisely it. He wasn't asked to do more. And that's neither a good thing nor a bad thing.
No, right.
Just,
yeah.
That was just his reality last year. He shed that reality this year.
Yep.
Robert Windsor, I think Robert Windsor can be as good as Parker Cothran.
Yeah,
and maybe I'm understating the impact that Parker Cothran made. I think Windsor and Cothran straight up one for one, you're not losing much there. I think the upside with Givens is greater than the upside was with Curtis Cothran.
Right.
I think that's a fact. I think the issue is just Ellison Jordan's health.
Right.
Where do you have Damian Barber ticketed? What's Antonio Shelton ready to do? I have a good feeling about Shelton, but again, you haven't seen it.
What's Fred Hansen? I think your 1-2 are set in Givens and Windsor, and I think everything else is up for Sean Spencer to figure out. And yeah.
There's not one man on the coaching staff where you can put in that position and trust him.
That guy's
more than Sean Spencer.
At it. Yeah.
So, but. Again, it's a pass league. The Big Ten still is one of the most run prevalent leagues in the country, but still, you're going to be. I think there's an effort here to get lighter, faster, and more wreak more havoc. You're gonna put that experiment to the test in 2018.
Yeah, especially on the inside. The outside is just a ridiculous wealth of riches. I mean, it's what, 5-6 guys and pick your poison and run them how you want. I mean, Sean Spencer's like playing with house money. In my opinion, he's going to be able to pick and choose how he uses his ends to impact the football game to make an offense in the Big Ten adjust. That's not easy to do, but I think he's got the guys to do it.
And how about if Micah Parsons gets to show his pass rush ability? You know, that I think you have something that could be pretty special here and something we haven't seen in quite a few years at Penn State. Our Ruben on Ask Andy is coming up. It's our final segment of the show, probably our best one. Stick around. Hey, Dustin Hawkinsmith here from the Keystone Sports Network. I wanted to share my own firsthand experience using 409 tailgate sauce. It's a product you hear about often on the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is not an advertisement. It is a fact. 409 tailgate sauce is different from every barbecue sauce I have ever bought. It's not that thick, syrupy, artificial stuff you'll find on grocery store shelves. It's lighter, it's more versatile, and it's good on just about everything. I'd recommend going to 409tailgateclub.com right now. See what I mean, experience that difference, and tailgate with honor.
160,000 miles. That's on average how often you'll use your car insurance. But what if you could get help with more often? Maybe save a couple of bucks on clothes or at restaurants. What if you could even get rescued roadside when a tire goes flat or your battery dies? You can, when you're a member and your auto insurance is AAA. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about how AAA works at every mile.
The harsh rain and wind ahead will be very tough on your roof. Prepare for the season by showing your roof you give a shingle and call Long Roofing. That's Long, L-O-N-G, the name that's been trusted by families across the Mid-Atlantic region for more than 70 years. Right now, you will get free gutters with your roof replacement from our friends at Long Roofing. Give them a call today for a free estimate on your roof at 844-405-LONG. That's 844-405-L-O-N-G.